Daniel chapter 3. We left Nebuchadnezzar last week after Daniel had told him what he dreamed and what it meant with Nebuchadnezzar saying that he tried to worship Daniel, and he said, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." And he promoted Daniel. Daniel became the ruler of the whole province of Babylon. And then at Daniel's request, he promoted Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and gave them positions of leadership as well. Now, again, I don't know how much time has passed between that and what happened in chapter 3. But in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar rebels against that God of heaven. He builds a statue to worship and commands that everybody bow down and worship that statue. And these three Hebrew boys decided they were not going to do that. And this is the story of the fiery furnace. Now, before we start, there are people today that are trying to set up one world religion. Now, there are people today trying to get everybody to worship the same thing. And what they're trying to do is the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar did. They're trying to get people to turn away from the true God and worship false gods. That's what they were doing. That's what Nebuchadnezzar were doing. That's what goes on today. And again, you might wonder, well, why does this story about the fiery furnace, how does this fit in with the prophetical book? I mean, we talked last week about Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the prophecy that it was, the different kingdoms going forward. He was the head of gold and so forth. How does it fit in? And the rest of the book is a book of prophecy. How does it fit in? I think it fits in because I think chapter 3 is a prophecy of the Great Tribulation. Nebuchadnezzar represents the Antichrist. The fiery furnace represents the suffering that will go on in the Great Tribulation. The image, the statue that Nebuchadnezzar built, represents the abomination of desolation that's referred to in the book of Revelation. The three Hebrew children represent the remnant that are going to be preserved in the Great Tribulation. And then there's Daniel. Brother Jeff asked me a few weeks ago, where was Daniel when all this was going on? Why wasn't he with his three friends? Why wasn't he, thrown into the fiery furnace? Well, I think Daniel, since he was promoted to, be the ruler of the province of Babylon, was probably traveling. He wasn't there. He was probably, as the ruler, he was probably traveling. And I think Daniel represents the church who is going to be taken away before the great tribulation comes. If Daniel was there, we know from what we know about his character that he would not bow down, that he would not worship the idol. And so I think he was there, and his absence represents the fact that God's going to take the church out before the great tribulation comes. All right, so Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So this image of gold. Now, again, it was 80 cubits. Cubits, for the most part, was 18 inches. 80 is 60. And so you got a statue of gold 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, made of pure gold. And so, again, a display of the wealth that Nebuchadnezzar had. Some people think it was an image in memory of his dad. Others think it was built to worship Bel, the Babylonian god. Most people think it was an image of himself. Daniel had just told him that the dream that he had, where he dreamt about a statue, the head of gold was himself. And so Daniel told him, there's not going to be a kingdom like yours, until the kingdom that Christ sets up. You're going to have the greatest. And so he just decided to set something up so that people would worship him. And so instead of humbling himself before the God of heaven, that revealed his dream and the meaning to Daniel, he was filled with pride and decided to build this statue. Verse 2. Oh, by the way, the plain of Dura was a large, flat plain. So it was big enough for a big crowd to gather and worship this idol. Verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So only the leaders of the kingdom were invited to come. Their role would be to go to the people and sell the fact that this image needs to be worshipped. And so it was Nebuchadnezzar's first step. I'm going to get my leadership team, so to speak, on board and get them to worship this idol. And then I'll get them to go to all the other people and tell them that they need to worship. Now, again, there were a lot of them. There were a lot of bureaucrats, so to speak, a lot of leaders in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Verse 3, then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the day of dedication came. All were present, except for Daniel. He was gone. And again, this was an impressive sight. This was a flat piece of ground, a large flat piece of ground. Here was a golden statue, 90 feet tall, 9 foot wide, standing straight up in the middle of this flat piece of ground. So it was an impressive sight just to see. Then, in verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So Herod gives instructions. He said, look, the orchestra is going to play. And it lists some of the instruments there. Okay? I mean, we know what a cornet is, a flute, a harp. A sackbut is a sort of like a trombone, and a dulcimer is a drum with strings above it. They play with sticks. Okay? A psaltery is sort of like a harp. And so, and all other kind of music indicates there are probably other instruments as well. So the herald said, hey, everybody, listen. You need to listen. Again, this was all the leaders of the nation of Babylon. When you hear the music begin to play, you need to bow down and worship this statue that Nebuchadnezzar has made. Now again, true worship is an expression of the heart. You can't force true worship. It comes from within. It's directing our love toward God. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't looking for true worship. He was saying, you're going to fall down and you're going to worship this idol, whether you feel it in your heart or not. And if you don't, I have a fiery furnace, a burning fiery furnace that you're going to be thrown into if you don't bow down and worship it. So it tells me that the king expected some trouble. I mean, you would think that if he thought everybody was going to bow down, he wouldn't have anything set up to punish those people that might not. And so he was expecting some trouble. Therefore, verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So 99.99999% of the people did exactly what they were told to do. Almost unanimous. Again, probably many in the crowd weren't convinced in their hearts that it was the right thing to do, but they didn't want to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so they went along to get along. They compromised. They just went along with the crowd, and when the music played, they bowed down. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, the only Jews that I know were there, and the only three that I know that were in leadership positions that were invited by Nebuchadnezzar were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, apparently, he had set up some people as observers, the Chaldeans. They were some of his wise men, some of his advisors. He'd probably called them in before and said, hey, you guys keep your eyes on the crowd. I want to know if there's anybody that doesn't bow down. And so the Chaldeans came after the music started to play, and 99.999% of all the people bowed down. They came to the king, and they accused the Jews. Verse 9, they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so they came to the king. They made a charge. They made a formal charge. They did it according to protocol. They made a direct charge against these three men. And there was no misunderstanding in the charge that they made. They said, hey, and they repeated what the king had said. When you hear the music, you fall down. These three guys, and again, they named it by name, did not. Now, the charge that they made was accurate. When the music played, these three young men stood. They did not fall down and worship. But the insinuation that they made, where they said, these men, O king, have not regarded thee, was wrong. I mean, it wasn't nothing personal against King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not that they didn't regard him. They were being faithful to their God. They were being true to their God. Their God had commanded in the first two commandments that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai that they'll have no other gods before me and you'll not make any false images. Here was somebody trying to get these young Jewish men to say, well, we're going to have another God before our God, and we're going to worship a graven image. We're going to worship a false image. And again, it wasn't that they didn't have regard for Nebuchadnezzar. They were just being faithful to their God. And so what they insinuated was not true. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. So the three Hebrew children was called before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So Nebuchadnezzar is going to give him a second chance. He says, hey, bring those guys to me. He says, is it true what you've been reported about you? Did you not fall down and worship my statue? Now again, he had just appointed them to positions of leadership. That's why they were there. And so he said, you must have misunderstood. I'm going to give you another chance. The music's going to play again. And if you bow down, okay, I'll overlook the first time that you didn't. But if you don't, know that even though you're in a position of leadership that I appointed to, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, not careful means that they had thought carefully about what the consequences were for them standing. And so they were not hedging their answer. They were not evading the question. And so they said, King, we know what we're doing when we give you the answer that we're going to give you. I mean, we know what the consequences are. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They said, you want to know which God can deliver us out of your hand? Our God can. Our God's omnipotent. He can do anything. And we believe that if he wants to, he can deliver us out of this fiery furnace. You want to know who can? Our God can. Same God that told you your dream, that told Daniel what you dreamed and what it meant. that God can deliver us out of the fiery furnace if he chooses to do it. But if not, if our God chooses not to do it, and by the way, God can make that choice. I mean, you go to the book of Acts, and when the early church was being persecuted, James was put to death. But Peter was, you know, was put in prison, was going to be killed after Easter, but God sent an angel to help him escape from prison, and he was able to continue his ministry. Same God that freed Peter had the power to free James. He just he decided not to. God can make those choices. I mean, it doesn't say that God is limited. It doesn't say that God can't. God can do anything. There's nothing that God can't do. But God, he chooses to do some things. He chooses to do other things. And so these three Hebrews knew that. The Hebrew boys knew that. Our God, he can deliver us. He has the power to do it. We have the faith that he has the power to do it. And if he wants to, he can. But if he doesn't want to, that's what they're saying. But if not, in verse 18, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. You don't need to give us a second chance. Our answer is going to be the same. Our actions is going to be the same. We are not going to bow down and worship that idol. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't give him a second chance. He didn't have the music. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Heated up 7 times more than it was normally supposed to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men, so he got the most burliest soldiers in his army, that was in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men and took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys that threw them in the furnace was so hot, burned them up. I mean, they were the most mighty men in the army. And it burned them up. And so Nebuchadnezzar didn't waste any time. You're not going to bow down. You're going down the fiery furnace right now. Right now. Now, we've got to quit for time. You know the rest of the story, but we'll wait till next week to tell you it. You know, this is what they do when they end a season of TV. They leave you in suspense. So you got to come back next week to get the rest of the story. But thank you for being here. And you know the rest of the story. Praise God that we have examples in the Bible of young men that stand for God, that don't go along with the world, that don't compromise, but that stand for God. What an example they are to us. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.